chapter 5, the first verse, and then skipping down to the 13th verse. Listen for God's word. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have read your word, and I ask your blessing upon it and upon the words that you have given me to speak, that the people would hear what you want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Just 4 days from now, we will be celebrating July the 4th. And we are so accustomed to calling this holiday July 4, I wonder, have we lost sight of its significance? Highways and airports are already jam-packed as families travel to the beach or the mountains for this holiday week. Any number of celebrations will be held. Friends will be gathering at the lake. Grills will be fired up for burgers and hot dogs. And there'll be plates overloaded with potato salad and deviled eggs and barbecue. And then come dark, fireworks will be bursting in the skies. Sparklers and firecrackers will be heard in neighborhoods. Villages and towns throughout the land will host celebrations for July the 4th. And I really hope that everyone enjoys the activities this week. Nothing wrong with safe and sane celebrations. But how many of those celebrations will include a time of remembering? Remembering that July the 4th is Independence Day. While we pause to recognize the cost of our independence, the reason for celebrating, will we remember to do that? Some 233 years ago, men and women at great risk stood up, took a stand, and fought to gain freedom. Freedom from the tyranny of the King of England's government and those overburdensome laws. I don't know when the last time was you read the Declaration of Independence, but I read most of it again this week. And within that, the founding fathers enumerated many of the things for which they were taking a stand against. I'm going to read a few of them for you. As recorded in the Declaration of Independence, the king's government cut off international trade, imposed high taxes, made unjust accusations, took over the local governments, and then the list goes on and on. 56 men signed that declaration. Among them are the well-known John Hancock and Benjamin Franklin. And of course, there were the three signers from North Carolina. I'm sure you know who those are. Should I name them? William Hooper, Joseph Hughes, and John Penn. And the signers, those 56 men, were just a handful of people who took a stand for freedom. From the beginning of the Revolution in 1775 to its end in 1783, some 6,800 Americans were killed, 6,100 injured, and 20,000 taken prisoner, many of whom died in captivity of disease and their injuries. During those 8 years, a great price was paid for our freedom, a price that continues to be paid to this day. As we sit here in the comfort of air conditioning and comfortable seats, thousands of men and women are throughout this country and across the globe so we can be here, so we can celebrate this week. They are putting their very lives at risk for this freedom. Too often we take freedom for granted, a freedom some people have come to believe gives us license to do anything we want. Certainly, we're seeing that in today's society. We do anything, say anything, post anything on Facebook, tweet anything on Twitter that strikes our fancy. Neither the media, nor politicians, nor citizens exercise restraint. Is that what our founding fathers intended? Is that what they fought for? Is that what they gave their lives for? Is that what women and men today are risking their lives for? A self-indulgent, anything goes freedom? One writer commented, "Freedom has constraints, which are the responsibility and commitment to the welfare of the community." Freedom has constraints, which are the responsibility and commitment to the welfare of the community. Reverend Dr. William Coffin, who pastored Riverside's church in Manhattan for many years, said, "Real freedom is freedom from self for others. Real freedom is freedom from self for others. Freedom is about drawing the right boundaries, not living without them. For an orderly and just society, certain boundaries must be made and adhered to. That is true for freedom in these United States and for the freedom we have in Jesus the Christ. That freedom gained by just one man, the Son of God, who suffered great humiliation, excruciating pain and death on the cross for you and for me. A misunderstanding of the freedom we have in Jesus often happens. It happened in Galatia, and it caused conflict in the church." Can you imagine conflict in a church? The Galatian Christians were fussing over what rules they had to follow. Some leaders in the church claimed that obedience to the Mosaic law was essential. circumcision, observing all the Jewish feast days, and obeying the hundreds or thousands of Jewish laws was the mark of true believers. Their definition of freedom in Christ assured that someone would always be watching and ready to pounce. You can't eat that. What do you mean you're not going to the feast? So in his writing to the church in Galatia, the Apostle Paul makes clear, in Jesus Christ, you are free. Free from such burdensome laws. But Paul does not stop there. He explains that the point of freedom in Christ is to love one another and self. And he tells us how not to and how to live in the freedom for which Christ died. So, what does he say is the how not to? The answer, living in our sinful nature, doing whatever we please, whatever we want to do, is not freedom in Christ. And Paul specifies and prefaces these not to's with saying that such sins are obvious. And most of them we readily recognize. We see them in the movies, all over the television and the internet. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, drunkenness, orgies. But the list does not stop there. There are other sins that are probably even more abundant in today's society. The New Century Bible translates them this way: hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people. Ouch. Those sins hit pretty close to home, don't they? Who is not guilty of at least one of these offenses, either in what we said or what we did or failed to do? If, when we hate or jealous, make trouble, cause divisions, we have succumbed to our sinful nature, a nature that hurts and disrespects ourselves, our neighbors, and our Lord. Our Lord Jesus died on the cross to free us from that very nature so we could live in the freedom of the Spirit, which is the how-to. The Spirit, as Paul tells us, produces fruit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit that happen, that are produced when we live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul tells us that if we live by the Spirit, we will follow the leading of the Spirit. However, being human, having a sinful nature, we on occasion lose sight of what that living in the Spirit looks like. So we need guidance. We need guidance on how to keep in step with the Spirit. And we find that in the Ten Commandments that we just read. And those Ten Commandments are not recorded in just one, but are in two places in the Old Testament. You find them, you can look up in your Bibles that are there at your chairs. They're in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. So don't you think these 10 must be pretty important if God has them in the Bible twice? Of course they are important. They are the boundaries God has set for us. Jesus dying for us did not do away with those boundaries. Jesus himself declared, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them." And remember, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Do you remember what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then Jesus went on to say, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. While in Christ we live in freedom, it is freedom within those boundaries which God has given us for our well-being and the ordering of society. My friends, freedom in Christ is not permission to do what we want, but the power to do what is right in God's sight. We who live in this country are blessed to live in freedom as we choose, a freedom we can and should embrace by speaking out, by standing up, by living for the betterment of our society within the boundaries of our laws. As we do so, may we live in the freedom of Christ, rejecting our sinful nature and living within the boundaries of God's law, the law of love. Amen.